තෙරුවන් සන්නයි ඇහෙනවා නේද ඔක්කොට? තෙරුවන් සන්නයි, සුවපත් වෙන්න, ශාන්තියක් වෙන්න සියලු දෙනාටම. Just I will cover some points, okay. The main message I want to give this on this trip is regarding certain things that happened to me from last year. Actually, I came on this tour 2017. That was just before that, as I became a monk, I had invitations from America. And that time I told them, when I am an Arahant, I will come. So Arahant means a completely perfected being, then I will come to your country or any country. I thought, until then, what can I give anybody? What I meant by perfecting myself is that I would become perfectly pure, without any anger, greed, or ego, or delusion, according to my idea. So anyway, I kept on practicing as a young monk, not with an idea of attaining it like that, but I enjoy the practice. But maybe while I'm practicing, it might happen anytime. But anyway, nothing like that specifically happened. Of course, I improved. But 2015, I faced a near-death experience in Kailash, Mansarovar, in Himalayas, with altitude sickness. And with that experience, at that time, we have a practice when we are about to face death, a certain practice, a way of observing ourselves. This practice we have been trained daily for many years. So that practice, before I was able to focus that, suddenly a thought came. I couldn't give enough to the people. And this regret came. I thought, oh, can't help it. Next life I will give. What can I do? Now I can't do anything. And then, of course, I kept on doing the practice which I was going to do to face this. Anyway, it's a long story. I managed to escape that particular time. It was 2017. Not only that, some other things also happened in 2015, but 2017, I accept the first invitation to Australia, and like that, I started. Okay. And then after 2017-18, it stopped again. I kept on practicing, going to Himalayas, to Sri Lanka, jungles. Both these places I was keep practicing. And each year I thought, maybe next year I will, you know, I didn't get the calling. Either I had to become fully enlightened, or I had to get a calling from nature, or some kind of, a divine signal for me to come like this. So nothing happened until last year. A very interesting thing happened. Maybe this trip, I don't even the last program I want to show something, but just pass by, maybe this, because you must get a bonus because you all missed a little time. So anyway, I in 2005, this last year, what happened was, okay, I want to tell, the reason I tell some of the stories initially is to give you an idea with the life experience. Nothing comes easily, you know. You have to go through a lot of difficulties, then only good things come. But good things do come. You have to have some patience. When there are more problems, more difficulties, more good things are going to come soon. So this is something you have to practically experience. If you are good also, if you have good intentions. So in last year, the beginning part, I was in Rishikesh, I don't know, you don't know, the foothills of Himalayas. When I was practicing, I got a severe pain, which I have been getting time to time. To see, I have been having stones, kidney stones. So I had to go through an operation, and it's not easy, you know, the way I live. Here only I'm having all the facilities. In fact, it's not by my choice. I would be like that. Like, I don't have people attending to me and all that around me. I keep my attendants far away, even in Sri Lanka and everywhere, when I have my own choice. So there also, sadly I got this, and India is, you know, a lot of population. If you want to die, it's a good place to visit is the hospital. Because you find they can't meet the demand that they have normally. So much patients, so much population, and difficult to, you know, supply the... So anyway, when I... There was this particular doctor, professor, who came, and he, you know, made in the Ames Hospital. It's like a super specialty hospital. It's like free, but some things you have to buy from outside. There I went through the operation. And we need blood and everything. There were two people to give blood. Everything was there just at that time. I couldn't... and I could see that how some kind of divine intervention, because though I am alone, there's this... when I need it, there are all these people coming together. And then I went through this operation. It was not a good experience. And but after that, I was in Delhi and I was bitten by a dog. So one after the other, and they're also not easy. My assistants, they were far away, and but there was others who came and looked after me. In India, when something like this happened, it's not easy. You go to hospital, there are so much crowd, you know, like a, so much, it's not easy. So after that, you see, it's difficult for me now. My English, you know, I can't flow. Now it has become like the Sinhalese. So anyway, I will come to some important points. So after that, after the dog bite, I went to Kailash, and this time in Lhasa, capital of Tibet, I had people to attend to me. Actually, there I had Chinese devotees more than before. I had a lot of support in that way, and they were all there. But in Lhasa, I felt terribly weak. So I passed 1 day, 2 days, 3 days thinking I'll be okay. And we are now, you know, going beyond our normal routine schedule. So what happened? We were waiting. I would think I'll recover. But I was not recovering. To see, I lost a lot of blood during the operation. And after 2 months, it's too short a time, you know. I should have at least 6 months. 1 year, and the doctor also didn't think I will go on such a journey. He said I can do normal things, but he didn't know that I'll be going to Kailash and all that. So anyway, I was feeling very weak. And then there's another option we did, like there's a flight from Lhasa to near Kailash, like 3 hour drive to Kailash. But that one problem is suddenly you're going to higher elevation. And then you are facing the risk of high altitude sickness. But your body is not exerted. So anyway, I went there. We went like that. And the others, the guides, they came by vehicle with oxygen and all that. First time I used oxygen all the way. Not that I was not well, but they were telling me, better you take it. After you are not well, you take this. No, you're going to struggle. So anyway, I did that. After this trip, things started to happen. Good things started to happen. Okay, I'm just telling you mainly for this reason. Good things means one of my assistants, they told me to visit, told me there was some special yogi. I hope you know the term yogi. Yogi means like a person who does meditation in India. Not this kind of gymnastic yogi, you know, like Hatha yoga. This is yogi means who have developed meditation, concentration power, especially. And he's becoming very popular in India. And my assistant, an Indian assistant, old assistant, he's in Buddha Gaya. He told me, Swami, if you go there, it will be good. So I said, I've been to all these places. I'm not very interested. So, but when he told me the place, there's a very special mountain there with some special energy. I felt attracted to go there. So anyway, I went there. This person is very famous, like lakhs of people are coming India, you know, like what he does is like a lot of people coming to find solutions for problems. And what he does is he calls from the crowd certain people And sometimes he may call by name, and or he will telephone number to call, and then they will get the ring, and like this he does. So it's a little bit, not magic, but so what he does is when he come to him, he makes them sit down, and then he writes his scriptures, and then he asks, what's your problem? So they say they have some problem, family problem, or the health problem, something. And then he has written all that in detail, and also some solution. So so he's like very popular. And he's also very very charismatic and very giving a lot of inspiration. And for the modern time in India also, they have lost faith in the monks and all that, everywhere. They feel like monks, they don't feel there could be any power, any strength in them. Even the younger people mostly, they hardly, I notice in Melbourne, not the younger ones, they are forced by their family to come. But when you get like 15, 16, 17, 18, they have no thing. Yeah, I can understand. But one thing, without investigating, without even searching, they have got a prejudice immediately, not to follow it at all, not to believe any God or believe any, tradition. All right, I also don't want to believe like that. But at least you must try out something and then come to a conclusion. Without that, from far away, just to make a conclusion, that's not the right way to search for truth. So anyway, I went to this place. Anyway, it was inspiring. There's no facilities there. A lot of people are there. He was not there, but the mountain, I went and, I had some good energy from there. I went again. When my second trip, there's a flight from Delhi to that place. Okay, I did not tell the place. All right. So Delhi to that place, the flight, he was also there. He was also going after a long trip somewhere like this. He had been going for many places, programs. And then he was returning home. So when we got down the airport, when he was coming out, he got into the vehicle. He had a lot of security and all that, because all the people, they just try to get to him. And as he got in, he saw me from far and he called me. I went and he asked me, are you going to that place? Okay. I said, yes, I'm going there. And then he said to his people there, please bring Swamiji. And so I followed there. I had already a vehicle arranged before, and I got in and we went to his home, mother's home, because after the tours he was going to visit his mom. And then inside there were a lot of crowd there also. It's about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, the village area, all they have got to know, and then they're all there. But the security there, and he went in, then they called me. To see, there are few people seated and a throne, and he went inside, then he came. He talked to them. I think he knew all those people, one foreigner and all these different people were there. After that, he looked at me and said, I want a minute with you. And he sent all of them away, and he kept one person to translate in English. Then what happened? He did the same thing to me, not right. He told everything but my intentions, something on this path and all that. And later on, I met him several times. Anytime I go, I happen to meet him. It's such a funny thing because I have no phone and things like that, to connect or communicate or to keep in contact with his aides. But we met. And he told the reason why we are meeting like that. We both have been brother yogis in the previous life, doing the same practices and the same power, same energies. We both have practice. And that's the reason that we are, that we are so connected. And later on, he gave me some things, some tools to do. He shared some information. And one day he came in the night telling, not enough, not enough. I was wondering what he was meaning by not enough. Later he explained my practice. Then he said, we expect that you can do more of the practice. You have this thing, and he encouraged me, but he didn't tell me what. So I went to Sri Lanka, I was in India, did more practice, more than what I normally do, and came back. And then from like that time, like a lot of crowd, and he was like far away. And I asked, he was there, he asked, when did I come? I said, I came a few hours ago. And then he looked at me and I asked him quickly, how is my practice? Then he said, like mirror, mirror on the wall, you know, something like this. It's the only way for me also to know. Then he looked and said like this, what this means. Medium like, okay, not good, not bad. But he said, I will explain to you. So later, he went to, when he was in his room, about 2 o'clock in the night. It's not easy meeting him, you know, if you look at this place there. But around 2 o'clock, he called me and we were inside. There he explained to me, you're doing your samadhi practice, they're all okay. But there's this meditation, who am I? To question who am I? This is actually in southern India, Ramana Maharishi. This is one tradition where to get self-realization, there's an inquiry method called who am I. So this, he told me, you have to do this practice and know me meditation. There's another way. So this is the closest he could explain the anatta, no self with the Buddha teachers. So I knew he was trying to tell this because this is what I have practiced, what I have known. He said, you have to practice this. This is the highest meditation. And when you practice this, we'll have to search for you. And he encouraged me like that. And what else he said? Yeah. So like this. And he said means like there was a book with me. I should take this book all over for many years. They said when you read that book, everything will become clear. Your vision will become clear and everything will become clear. So what was that book? Actually, I had this book, Samyutta Nikaya. This book which most of the discourses which are connected with enlightenment, which is regarding the illusion of a self told by the Buddha. So these suttas, as a young boy, I was very absorbed in that. And I have my own experiences. But as I become a monk, what happened? I had to live a very hard life, a very ascetic life. And I was not forced to live like that. It was by choice because we want to practice in an ascetic way. So my teacher lived that life for all his life. So anyway, I was also attracted to that. So we used to walk a lot and the sun, the rain, all that, the elements we were exposed to. So we used to get sometimes wet by the rain and then dried by the sun while walking, miles and miles. So I don't know, I have gone through also the LTT area, those days, the terrorist area. It's another story, but this time I can't explain all those things, what happened, like as a wandering monk. So I had to leave. So what I used that time was concentration power, the samadhi. So it is like anesthesia, you know, you don't feel the heat, the cold, and thirst, the hunger. So this practice I got more inclined to. Of course, analyzing, contemplation, reflection, these things also I did, but not as much as I did when I was young. So I used to go into that peaceful feeling, peaceful state of mind, rather than analyzing, reflection and all that. And reading, that slowed down, that became reduced. So it went on for many years. Even in Himalayas, I read few pages, the suttas, and then I don't read anymore. I go to samadhi, concentration, or you know, the meditation in that way. So it went on like that. But I used to tell the people to read this sutta, to read this discourse of the Buddha, because I knew this is the key. I have already the experience of that. And so what happened? After he told me this, I went to again in southern India, not southern India, Sri Lanka, the forest where I practiced before, and I started to practice again. This time, not reading, not going to samadhi or concentration meditation, start reading. And not like when I was young, but fast. I kept on reading some of the sections which I know exactly. Those sections I started reading. And then when I met again, 80% this says, what is inside, the level inside, not like this, 80%. So again, I was so encouraged. Then I knew, you know, there's something, because this is connected with the wisdom eye. Wisdom is something, wisdom meditation is the most powerful meditation. It can break your karma, it can clear your karma. Because we are concerned about our karma, the destiny. I don't know how many of you believe in that. It's not easy. I suggest some of this literature called Edgar Casey, Many Mansions, where he used to go into unconscious state and he was called the Miracle Man of Virginia. It's very interesting. I mean, how he used to relate to some of the problems we are facing now, to some things we did in the previous lives. And, you know, they're very nice. They're called case studies. So these are like very interesting. So how we normally do it with anger and greed. Okay, these are the main two things. With anger and greed, when we react, we create sin or karma. And that karma, you know, is the one that when if we can, some things we are going through, some hardships, difficulties, pain, we can relate to the actions, thoughts, words we did in the previous lives. That's how it comes, how it makes this life. And that's what we call samsara. Okay, so I would suggest, maybe you can just read these books called Edgar Casey, Many Mansions, to give that idea. Maybe something about karma, I have something in my bag, I might show to you. Last program I was planning, but suddenly, maybe they don't need that. Okay, this I did for actually some cancer patients. A child, for her not to worry that you have a destined time to die, or there is that destiny, that not to worry like that. I had to show these things so that that person will come to peace and not unnecessary anxiety. So anyway, so then I started to read again in another forest, complete this, and when I came back, 120%. Then only I started these retreats in Sri Lanka. In Sri Lanka, I accepted this monastery because I need people to stay and train them and open up the way to ordination, so that first to ordain their mind, that's what the main purpose, so that they go through this training, what they should be doing, what they should be thinking, how to practice. So this is how it started in Sri Lanka last October. And it's not that I accepted the monastery. On my behalf, the trust is doing everything. I have made a trust. I want to be a wandering monk still. So, but as a duty to the sangha, to the people, I have to do that. But I made sure that I don't own the monastery and nobody owns it also. This is my job, to make sure I don't own, and they also no one, because this is what happens to monasteries. So now, I want to tell, where's my friend? He's here? Okay. Right. He's now following me all the programs, so I have to ask him like whether I've covered my stuff. So now I'm coming to another topic. Okay. Now, when you have anger, and now actually we have to, there are two types of happiness. One is when you experience something through the senses. And the other thing is when you give up the senses, okay? When you control your senses, we have fasting and prayer and all these things, okay? And these are two types of happiness. The other one, normally what happens, you know, according to Buddha, the craving, our suffering is proportionate with craving. More the craving, the suffering will increase. All right, so what happens when we indulge in pleasures and senses? We increase our craving. So we have immediately some happiness, okay, all right, some excitement, some happiness. But when it finishes, it makes us less craving or more craving. It leaves us more craving. So what happens, it leaves, what when you see normally who are in this way, they're always having, they're having a kind of sadness for no reason. Without a reason, they're just unsatisfied, sad, or like, you know, empty. A heavy feeling, you could notice that. But then there's the other way. When you control and discipline, it may be difficult. You remove your addictions and all that one by one, and you control your mind. When that happens, you begin to have a happiness for no reason. You have a joy, you have some kind of, you know, feeling lightness, a confidence. So this is another direction. So now, one way I must explain the benefits of this. For example, when we get angry and all that, we have a hormone that is created in our body called adrenaline. Adrenaline normally makes you angry again. Like that, there's an interconnected. That hormone makes you have those thoughts. Those thoughts makes you have those hormones again. So I remember one of my teachers, not teachers means an inspiring person. I don't know whether you have heard about him, Somahandro. Have you heard? Maybe the elder people, they know. He was like a very fiery, dynamic monk. He died very early. So once we had a discussion with him, and he was telling me, if you meditate, if you become peaceful, and if you make your mind free from these negative emotions, then something else also should form. Something else does form. He named that thing called minus adrenaline. Okay? So, but I remembered one name in the Ayurvedic term called Ojas. Ojas. So I told him, it's very funny, the next discourse he was telling, I was there nearby. He put this word when he came to explain this. So his mind is also very like, you know, very fluid. He would gather things up and then create the discourse to suit the situation. So anyway, I remember he used the word Ojas. Ojas, this is like a very subtle material which goes, travels upwards to the brain. And there are areas of the brain that is not functioning, they start to open and they get deposited. And that makes you have these thoughts again, these good thoughts, what you had to create those ojas. So there's an interconnection. So ojas is more created, more of these thoughts happen to happen. And then the thoughts make this ojas happen, create more. So when this ojas gets created more, you can see in a person's body. It's very clear. You get a shine in your skin with this black skin or white, doesn't matter, or yellow. The skin, there's a charm. There's a charmness going to him. A magnetic, this thing goes through, I mean, it has in his aura. So this is something, and the skin looks fine, not rough. Doesn't look rough, you know, it looks fine. So this is something to encourage anyone. So when you practice like that, so I'd say normally, you know, like even the models, you know, they know about this and they're doing yoga. So to become more, you know, charming, not only from the cosmetics or from the using things from the vanity box, right? It's a nice word, vanity box, after a long time I'm using this. No? In English, you have some words, vanity box, it says it all. So, anyway, so normally when you get that particular, this thing, it will also create a shine, cheeks and forehead. So I tell normally, don't lose that shine. This goes with your virtue, it goes with your discipline. At a physical level, you could notice that. The shine will be there. So normally, so I tell you don't have to use then, what is it, Fair and Lovely or Nivea. Okay, you don't have to use any of that. And you will become, you know, you become very attractive, magnetic. So the other way is same in the other direction. You know, if you do something, now it is said even though there's a smell goes out of your body. I have not found exactly, but Buddha says when you are virtuous, when you are disciplined, when your mind is pure, that smell from which comes from your body goes toward the Brahmaloka, the higher worlds. This is how the Buddha explains. Now the other way, I know one girl, very young girl, like 13. She was like she's the granddaughter of one of my devotees. So they are very poor in Sri Lanka, but though they can't afford or anything, they put this child to the British school there in Sri Lanka. And then I was also, you know, I was very happy. Good, this boy, this girl will be educated well and all that. And I was very happy. But then they were taken to what she was, she went to one of these sleepovers. I don't know, they must be having here sleepover. That so in one of these, when she went like that, she met some bad company and she, you know, went astray. So there was this problem. She was not telling anybody what was going on. So she came and told what is this, she told, she want, the grandmother wanted to, the daughter to meet me. So when she was coming, the grandmother asked her, "Daughter, have you taken a bath?" I was wondering why she asked this. "Have you taken a bath?" So then she said, "Yes, Acha." And then she came and sat down. And then she told me everything, like what happened to her. And later she told me she was addicted to the phone. And and with the phone, she was like, you know, she was looking at things which are not very good. The toilet and everywhere. And for, she was addicted for months. And later in the recent time, she was getting a smell around her, a poo smell. And that's the reason that the grandma also asked whether, you know, she has taken a bath. And she was telling Swami Nivasan, "So this I understood what it could be. I have told in the previous programs how you attract negative energies, negative beings. And especially, and then these beings come and they are with this kind of body, smell with this body. So, and also your virtue, when you break, when you make your mind impure and corrupt, then another smell goes out of you, which is not good one. Like good smell goes out when you are doing good things, and a bad smell goes out when you are lying and doing all these things, you know, that also creates this way. So, also now I got to know in Canada also, you know, there's a big crime that took place, and the boy was, but what is, addicted to video games. This is a big thing, I think Mark Zuckerberg, right? Mark Zuckerberg is facing a lot of, his parents are all, you know, now who have committed suicide, the children. So it's all coming out. So one has to be very conscious. I'm telling all these things to create the foundation, especially you have to look after the children and also your own self. If you have so many things, like especially with the phone, you know, if like even listening to something else, I remember now, like the pineal gland. You know, in the pineal gland, they say that there's this this particular hormone called serotonin. Am I right? Serotonin. So normally your focus power and all this concentration and focus depends on this particular hormone. So the reduction of that, depletion of that, you know, it affects, creates depression and all that. So it's well found that the smartphone, the blue light of the smartphone, it damages this. So what happens then? Your concentration, your focus power decrease means what? You become impulsive. More you impulsive, you're going to be more agitated and restless and no peace. And definitely you'll be going to things that are very negative. When you don't have the span to concentrate and focus. So if you want to develop specially your mind, you have to be conscious of these things that you use. I will talk about that. And there's another one called Grim Hustler. I'm giving you immediately, you know, in YouTube you can check. He looks like Russia Mafia, but he gives very good points. I think it really hits you. He's like a life coach. Like the phone we use as we get up before you sleep, like that. And many other topics he gives, you know, bad habits, how to develop focus, how to remove, you know, all our bad habits to progress in life. I think you must go through that. But he used a foul word very often. Don't care about that. Don't care about, because many good points he tell. It goes really into your mind. Grim Hustler. Remember that. And the other one is dopamine detox. Go through that if you're still watching YouTube and all that. This will help you also to know more about, you know, what happens to you through the phone. We can't completely leave the phone. We at least must use it for, but we have to use it for, you know, GPS and all these things. But must be careful that, you know, what is going to affect us in decreasing our concentration power, our faculty, we must learn to leave it, like entertainment and all that. Even it's mainly the TikTok, right? Something called TikTok, okay? The shorts. Anyway, the short videos, it's very clear that I got to know that, you know, more dopamine is this thing in that. So we are attracted to that. So one lady told me, Swami Nivasan, I can't meditate. I do a lot of, you know, giving donation and all these things, but I can't meditate. I am only listening to the teachings in the short videos. So later I told her, short videos, it will make you very short. You know, your concentration power will decrease more and more, and you will have to make more shorter, more shorter. They are told, you know, there's a nice term for that. It's called doom scrolling or something. Have you heard this? So you have to be aware of that. They said, like, you know, like you are doing like this to the Eiffel Tower, something. So for so many hours, you can make up to the Eiffel Tower. So this you have to be conscious, because always you are having these things. So these things I was explaining, some points I think you should be knowing. Because I'm going to come just the foundation for me to explain something important regarding rebirth, death, and old age, and the next life, and how to stop this, how the Buddha has told. These things I have been giving now in every program, things that are the most essential teachings in the Buddha's teaching, which I have some personal experience also, will help you to one day fully understand this. Just to create that. But to do all this, you have to create, your change your lifestyle. You have to make a sharp mind, a pure mind to realize this. These are, if you just read or get this knowledge as a knowledge, this is very common today. Getting knowledge and becoming realized is two things. Anyone can gather knowledge. They might tell, I know all these things. But have you realized this? It's a different thing. So my concern is how to make you realize. So for that, you have to make sure your lifestyle, you become clean, pure, and, you know, calm, and you learn to do your work without feeling tired. That is how, if you drive without feeling tired, if you walk without feeling tired, you have meditated. So I have taught these things. In the mornings, you must do some rituals. And, you know, one thing, you must try to be careful when you're going out, not to take unnecessary impressions, not to see what is unnecessary. Like when you are driving the car, you can see the vehicles, but you don't have to see who is inside the vehicle. Like that, when you train, you are going inward. You are just looking what you need to perform your activity. This is a special practice that reduces your monkey mind. But I know some of them told me, you feel tired when you are doing that. Why? Because you have not got the initial push. So you should get it in the morning. When you start the day, you must get that and see where you got distracted last time during the day, and make sure that time you are controlling yourself, or where you got really angry, or where you got really distracted in a attached way. So this you have to check and clear it. Make sure next time you're not doing that. And then you feel happy about yourself. And that happiness is like a great food to your brain, food to your willpower. So that way you improve day by day by monitoring yourself. So I must say, I have to go on telling, otherwise if I stop, Mali. So let's see. I think I don't want to cover these things. So anyway, this I want to explain. This you must make sure, the daily practice. That one. Then the other one is mindfulness in the present moment. Make sure, like, you must feel the seat, the steering wheel. Just paying simple attention. When you do like that, a special type of awareness begins to grow. When you do it again, it doesn't come naturally. And then you find that your tiredness will go away. There are some people I told last time, while they are driving, how to do that. And now they have really upgraded. They have started reading the sutras. And they have also experienced, they told me, how they were feeling light, like something was breaking away. I'm very happy, because they have got to know I am now stressing about reading the discourses. And they have already started that. And I'm hearing this from them, that if you personally experience that, because it makes you let go, and that lightness will come. And that is a tremendous positive energy. And when you experience it, no one has to tell you to do it. Because you know, whatever you have experienced before, you can't, you know, compare with that feeling of lightness and, you know, feeling cool. So I'm very happy with them. So this general practice you have to go on, making sure you control your senses. You don't look at the things, unnecessary things. And then the other one is paying attention to the present moment while you're driving and all that. These are the second practice. Or while you're walking, just looking at what is immediately present. Just paying attention. Your mind will run again, but reminding again. Simple things. Can you learn to keep your mind simple like that? You will lose. You do not get tired. You will have some plan. I have to do this, do that. But don't keep on thinking of the plan continuously. So you have to. You have that ability as a human being to have that. We have learned to do like multitasking in this external world. You must learn to do the multitasking in the meditation also. That if you train your brain, your mind, you can do that. So that is one practice, and you will experience these blessings of not feeling tired, and day by day your soul is, you know, getting clear, and your inner heart is becoming, you know, peaceful. So this practice you must do, and I hope you can add to reading these teachings. And the other one I want to tell is, it has to be applied. You know, Buddha has a special wisdom. That wisdom is connected with reducing your suffering. So he relates suffering to craving. So whatever wisdom he brings out is reduce your craving. So I have one experience I had with an auntie who used to get angry. Were you anyone there today in the Manchester today, no? Any of all are, they have not been here. They were there. Okay, so you had to hear it, right? Now they lifted their hand like this. I can see the boredom in them. Okay. Right. Because they are hearing the same thing, right? So I have a general this thing now, not same one time, they must be hearing it now several times. This is for the practice. I have no other new things to tell you, just taking you in a direction, controlling your senses, removing your addictions, then only you will make the mind that you realize this. These truths look simple, the explanation, but you should realize it. It's profound. The realization is profound. Okay? So, this sutta, these discourses are there where it brings you a way of looking at the world which you will reduce your craving. Okay? So there's one sutta when I started reading, that is when my teacher directed me to read them, these discourses, when I was 18 years old. This is called the Mahahastipadoppana Sutta, the elephant footprint discourse. Why does this sutta called the great elephant footprint? The elephant footprint, you can put all other footprints in that footprint. So this idea, the Buddha's concept or idea or discourse, you can put, what he means is that you can put all other ideas into this. This is regarding the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths, the first Noble Truth is about the suffering, the truth of suffering. So why is he telling the truth of suffering? It's like birth is suffering, old age is suffering, sickness is suffering. Everything that happens, like even a good thing that happens because it's bound to finish, is suffering. That's why now suffering as it is, as a feeling, is suffering. But a pleasurable feeling, why Buddha says a pleasurable feeling is suffering? Because it's bound to finish, bound to end. It is a conditioned phenomenon. This is a very deep, very clear thing. So you find we are like just going behind an illusion, a phantom, thinking this, but it's always finishing, it's always ending. And then we are left back to square one. So that's why when you go in that direction, so all these things happen, in short, Buddha says, to Panchupadana Skanda, the five aggregates, what we are made up of, what we say, which is our soul, which is our person, that is the body. We all have a body. When rebirth is taking place, we are born, it's a body that is formed first. Okay? And then you have consciousness. These are the main two things, what we call ourselves. Body and a consciousness. Okay? So these sufferings are happening in this body and consciousness. Alright, sadness is feel because we are conscious. If we are unconscious, we are not experiencing anything like that. But it's not, we are not aware also. But in all types of awareness, consciousness, we are experiencing this sadness and all the other pressure also, and it's changing, and then we feel upset with that too. So all that is because we are conscious. Alright? So Buddha, in short, then he says all this suffering of old age, death, and all that is in these five aggregates: body, feeling, perception, and reaction, and consciousness. So I will tell you in short what this is. Like, we have the ear. Now, actually, consciousness in the modern medical science and all that is still not understood well. In the modern, this thing, they still think that is something, it's just part of some neurons still. They're still researching. But in the ancient Eastern philosophies, it's well known. Consciousness is something separate from the body. Body is used as a, you know, as a thing, but consciousness is separate. It's not the body is, without a body you can't get consciousness also. Something like this. So when you have, how it's explained, it's like you have the ear and the object. Then say it's not at all, nothing happening immediately. Say somebody hit you, you're unconscious. Okay? Slowly you're becoming conscious. How do you know you're becoming conscious? You begin to see. Okay? What see means, say, you begin to hear. Say the sound wave and the ear is the material part. It is there. With these two as a condition, there's something, it says something happened. That is the initial consciousness. Okay? And there's some, a sensation goes. And that sensation is the feeling, the part, one of the part, factors of consciousness. Okay, and the feeling is measured like as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. That measuring is called perception. And when it is perceived as pleasant, there's something that reacts with greed. And if it's unpleasant, if it perceives as unpleasant, it reacts with hate, aversion. And if it's neutral, it reacts with delusion. This reaction is called, this is called karma. We are creating new karma. So now if somebody hit me and then I recognize, perceive, and then I react. If I only think, it becomes mind karma. If I tell go away from my mouth, then it will be word karma. And if I hit the person, that will be body karma. Okay. So these three ways of karma is done. That's how the karma is done, based on how we react. This reaction is called sankhara. So they are all mental factors of consciousness, a moment of consciousness. Always it's happening with your eyes now. Now maybe you might be having mixed feelings. One is too late, I'm tired, okay? That is a bit aversion. Oh, it's nice, I must hear this. Okay, that is... So now also you're making karma. Alright? So with your ears, eyes, is always happening. But for each consciousness, you need the ear and the object. I and the object, nose and the object. That's how the Buddha explains. Each organ and corresponding the stimulation. Now, for example, sound, if it strikes your nose, nothing happens. Okay? You can't see from your ears, you can't smell from your eyes. Each organ have its own domain. And so this is how you must understand, you know, consciousness, each consciousness. So now, in this great Mahasipadopada, the great footprint of the elephant footprint. In this is the second to Buddha in wisdom, his pupil, his disciple called Sariputta. He shows his wisdom actually. He explains, now in Buddha's time, the body, he takes body, now he takes five things we have, body, feeling, perception, and this other reaction and consciousness. And the body, he takes the body separately, and he separates it into the four elements. Not in terms of electrons and protons, that time, Buddha's time, they used to separate it according to the hard nature, nature-wise. Hard nature, liquid nature, heat, fire nature, and then air. In nature. So as a nature, say for example the hard nature here and the hard nature here, if you take it as a nature, is there any difference? What do you think? Some of them who first time, can you tell me? Hear the hardness and hear the hardness. If you take the nature as hard, is there any difference? No. Okay. So we have more hard nature in our body, the bones, the teeth, right? Like this. And even our muscles, they're also having more hard. And the liquid nature, what do you have in our body? The blood, all right? And phlegm maybe. So the blood in your body and the in the tap, the water that is flowing, is there any difference in regard to its liquidness? No. This is a way to look at it in your mind. It's a meditation. It's a meditation to look at the reality. It's also called insight meditation, which brings wisdom. So it's something more, your mind is calm and peaceful. You can do this easily, this exercise. So when you mentally picture and take it apart, like urine, for example, you have it here. You feel it's my urine. When it goes to the toilet, it mingles with the water there. So this idea of mind comes in this space. So this way you begin to take one part after the other. What happens? Do you disappear or do you get your eye, idea of I about you? Does it disappear or does it get, what do you think? It reduces, right? If you do like that, can you do like that? These are the type of meditation in Buddha's teaching where you mentally, now this is the wisdom eye, it's a different eye. It is in the frontal cortex. We have normally analyzing, contemplation and this kind of ability done here. But this is also done, this is called the eye of wisdom. This, all these sutras are, but when you do like that, what happens? When you do like that, what happens? When you practice like that, if you attach to something, your attachment will disappear. If you had an ego about yourself, that you were there or there's somebody else there, that ego also will disappear. And the other thing is, when you look like that, then do you get the idea this is my body? Or do you think you really, this is really not our body? It is made up of things that come from outside, food and all that. And then it gets built up. But we get an idea in our mind, it's as me and I. Okay? So now we know that consciousness depends this body to arise. Okay? So without the body, can consciousness arise in just in the sky or something? No. It needs an organ. And it, like we have artificial intelligence or what, AI, what is that? Okay. So what is that? These young people today, they nicely told me, what is that AI thing? Is it a robot? They told me it's a robot. Not, so they are very right. It's not consciousness there. Someone who had consciousness programmed that, right? A human being. Not that a robot made another robot. It's not possible. So anyway, so this consciousness is a very important thing in our life, for our enlightenment. This is everything. If you are not conscious, there is nothing, no life, no nothing. Okay? You will, if you understand consciousness, you will understand life. So what happens? You need this organ and you need an object, and depending on these two, you get consciousness. Alright? So what happens when you see them separate? Like when you see the body as like taking them apart, the hard nature out, the liquid nature, the fire nature, like that. If you mentally picture and take them out, your mind begins to see this body as not you. Okay? Then this consciousness depends on a body. If it depends on a body that is not you, this consciousness also you. Yeah, good. You get the answer immediately. Anyone? It's not you. If say for example, this is your body, okay, and consciousness is this. It depends on this. If this is not you, can this be you? No. This also becomes no you. Okay. But these are just now intellectually we are thinking about it. But if you properly develop and visualize, so in this consciousness only we see this is my son. This is my daughter, this is my mother, this is my friend, this devotee is here. This eye consciousness. Okay? So if I have trained and practiced like that, then what happens? I have quite a detachment. If someone shouts here or something happens here, will I be disturbed? No. If something is nice, will I be attracted? No. So I practice like this, okay? So I had this auntie who used to get angry. So I was left in Sri Lanka, with my parents. Not my parents, I'm sorry. They were in Southern Africa at that time. And then I was left with my grandma. But for my pocket money, I had to go to this auntie to get my pocket money. So what happened? I had no experience. I know she's agitated, but never got angry with me. So once she took us to the tooth relic to see the Buddha's tooth relic in Kandy with passes. It's long years ago. I was 18 years old. Right in, this was in 93 or something like this. All right. So after we came back, you know, those days there was LTT problems, bombs going off here and there. So elders didn't like you to, you know, be around crowd. They always were nervous. So what happened? I suddenly felt I want to go again in the line. So those days, less young people, you know, we were a little arrogant. I told my auntie, like, I didn't tell, can I go? No, I told, I want to go. I'm going, I think, not I want to. And what happened? When I told her I'm going tomorrow or something like that, she went, whoa. You can understand, right? You can't understand when someone gets angry. She went like, she shouted at me, okay? So that time I have been practicing these things regarding how the body is separated and the consciousness is not mine. Immediately that awareness came to my mind. Okay, what the sound that she's telling is just a sound and this body is not mine, it's separated. Then she wondered what happened because there's no reaction. So this was the first and the last time she scolded me. I'm sure she's getting a lot of merit. She's now a very old lady. I'm telling this story everywhere. Okay? Because now she's different. She has become more peaceful. So this is very important to apply. Now I'm coming to a very important topic. Okay? I hope I have created the background for all this. It is regarding when you're getting old, the last period of your life, when you're dying. I found one gentleman in Sri Lanka who's very close to me also. Like, you know, he was having this schizophrenic, right? Yeah. So, you know, like hallucinations of people talking to, like the dead people. His own, parents and one uncle. And suddenly he was like, you know, trying to go out of the house, the old age home. And then I happened to visit there. And then he saw me and he said, oh, Swaminwas. He was so happy because all others seemed to not understand what is going on. They were trying to give him tranquilizers and all that. So when I came, he knew I have some idea what is going on. And he said, oh, Swaminwas, I hope, you know. And then I knew what was going on to him. Actually, he's seeing his ancestors. He's also about to leave this body. The last moment you begin to see your next, you know, normally the next life. So the ancestors, they are trying to come and take him to their loved world. So it's funny, these ancestors, you know, these people, they have done, I know them, no means I know about them through other people. In 1943 or 4, this time, they have built monasteries. They have done good deeds, like they have gone pilgrimages to India so many times and to Burma those days for retreats and all that. And every four full moon, you know, not full moon, the moon cycles, every month, four times, they used to observe fasting and all these things. So this kind of people, they have fallen into this kind of state. I was wondering, what? Because though they have done like that, they have not become sufficiently detached from their body. So this is done daily as a practice, like with their families, their working places. They have been so close and they have been, you know, reacting with anger, aversion. So this accumulates that type of karma in the sensual world. So definitely good deeds are done. Those are there, they will give good fruit, but they don't guarantee you'll get a human birth, because the last moment you have a last thought. Okay, so if your life has been with the five senses, sensual world a lot, that karma accumulated will bring a thought at that time. Okay, so that thought becomes an object for consciousness to arise. This is what how rebirth happens, consciousness. You know, so if consciousness arises, then you will get name and form and rebirth. Okay, this is a very deep and a very important topic. I don't know, I have to tell you all this. So whatever karma you have accumulated in the sense world, this will come in the last moment as an object to distract you. So, for example, say, such a person, I was thinking they have done good merits and all that. So they have gone to the spirit world. It's like a transit lounge. Spirit world is like a transit lounge. You're not fixed anywhere. You're there hoping to be somewhere. Okay? So this is actually, we don't like to be in a transit lounge for more than 5 hours, 6 hours. Just imagine being there. You can't tell the time also. So I was thinking this kind of transit lounge, who have done so much good deeds, these good deeds also must be supported in some way. Maybe in that transit lounge they have KFC, McDonald's, something to pass the time. I don't know, maybe. Because there should be some facilities. There have to be some facilities with this good karma. I have not idea really what's really going on there. But definitely they are in that state. Okay. So normally, this is very important thing I'm trying to explain. This last moment, even in your coma, in clinical level you may be in coma, but the mind is working, even in the subtlest way. Now even to come to this program, you must have some karma. In this way, you would have heard from somebody and you would have got the urge to come, or somebody forced you to come, and some way or the other, then you come. Okay? So all this happens, why? If you don't have some action, reaction in the past, there are occasions where people have come like that and they have become more devotees than the people who took them. So because they had more potential, more destiny, but they don't know, they also don't know in themselves. So it's Buddha's time, this happened also. So when they come like this, then you come and then you experience your karma. Being here. Same way rebirth also. What karma you have accumulated, predominant one, it comes. So it starts from an object, a distracting object, which becomes the cause for consciousness to arise. And then it propels you to a next life, suitable parents, suitable this thing, and suitable environment for you to bring out that this potential. So it goes on like that. Now, when your last breath goes, normally, you will be, when the last breath goes, what do you think? Will we be distracted by this thought that comes? Or can we see the last breath going? Can we keep noticing it? What do you think? The last thought, we will go to that last thought, or we'll be normal person who had, you know, like a lot of attachments and where maybe did good things also, but not trained the mind enough. But will he be distracted by the thought that might come, or will he be able to just watch peacefully, you know, until the last moment? Sorry? Okay. That is common sense, right? Be distracted, right? Okay. So when distracted means what? There's a cause for consciousness to arise. Then rebirth will happen. Now there's some type of sense in Buddha's teaching called Anagami. Anagami is called non-returner. He does not return to this plane, the sensual plane. Why? He has no desires in the sensual plane, the five senses. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and five senses. But he has still attachment to peacefulness, to his meditation. Okay? So here, and he has craving as well as karma, accumulated meditation karma. Okay? So his mind goes to that. That's why he's called, he goes to the higher godly world, Brahma Loka, but he does not come to the human plane. Now such a being, when the last breath goes, do you think he, such a person like him, can keep his attention, or will he be distracted? Sorry? Think this is not multiple choice question? Or just, I'm not telling you answering like that, but just think, with the, now you know, because he's like a pure person, you're thinking like that, right? Now many think because he's a pure person and he already don't have desires here, but he still have desires to something, right? That's why he's called Anagami. What is he having desire for? The peacefulness. And he has made karma in that, that's why he's going to the Brahmaloka. So will he be distracted or not? Will he be able to keep the attention to the breath? Sorry? Distracted. I'm giving the answer, right? Because it's not an easy one too. And to realize it is also not easy. It's this thing. So, all of you, do you think he'll be distracted? Yes, okay. Okay. Yes, he'll be distracted to the peace. So that peace becomes an object for consciousness to arise. Okay? So, if that peace, and the peace is a part of consciousness. We have three feelings. It's part of feeling. We have pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling. So peace. Okay, right. So you have. Don't worry. I'm covered. I have covered most of it. Okay, coming to the end. You will get more blessings. Don't worry. You will. This group will be in my mind. Because there are situations like this, even LTT, they couldn't serve the food. They are still in my mind forever. Because I told that, I determined in that time, though I couldn't give them this time, I'm going to search for them and give. Because, you know, these certain situations happen sometimes like that. So the Anagami, he'll also get distracted, okay? So the consciousness needs an object. The feeling, peaceful feeling, is a neutral feeling. And the neutral feeling, when he gets distracted by that, that becomes an object for consciousness. Okay? For arahants, for example, the last breath when he's going, do you think arahant means a fully enlightened person? Can he keep his attention to the breath? When he keeps his attention to the last breath, no distraction, no object, no desire for peace or anything, completely in true peace, then when he's keeping his attention to the last breath, no conditions, is there any conditions for consciousness? When there's no conditions for consciousness, can it arise? When it does not arise, will there be rebirth? No rebirth. Okay, this is my teacher used to explain to me this and tell it's profound. Don't think it's simple, but this made me, when I understood like that also, later on, if you happen to read the Buddha's original teachings and meditate on that, this will become very meaningful. This will even make you enlightened, because that clarity will make you see what's the Buddha's purpose. He removes the causes for consciousness to arise. His problem is not just this world problem. His problem is rebirth, being reborn again and again. So without this knowledge of rebirth, just for some peacefulness, some good health benefit, you meditate. This is not a very profound idea of meditation. Meditation has a bigger purpose. It's to remove you from this cycle of this thing. That is a more mature, then even happiness, comfort, all that becomes vain. You want to find a permanent solution. Okay? So I think I have covered that important thing. That's about Vivekananda and all that. Anyway, how to do it? Huh? Textbook. Which one? Word of the Buddha. Okay, yeah, that's very important. So this is one of the books I have recommended, Word of the Buddha. As I told you, your karma will be cleared. You know, because this is, all these words are, some word made some beings enlightened. Okay? So today when we clear our lifestyle and make our tranquil mind more, then when we are reading it, not one time, four times, five times, then the visions will happen. Visions, a vision, intuitive vision can happen from these words. This is why I am stressing people. Now a lot of people, they are like discoursing the teachings. Okay, it's some kind of knowledge and not this realization. It to be contemplated. When you contemplate only, the vision will come, clarity will come, and desirelessness will come. Then all your karma gets burnt away. And this, just reading it also, as I told you, when I read and went, that yogi in India, he told me how 80%, 120%. Then I realized just not meditating peacefully, that's also good, but not powerful as reading and contemplation. It can clear your karma faster. And there are other ways. I tell people who have a lot of unsolvable problems connected with the Bodhi tree and all that. There's no time for that, right? You might look at one of the YouTube programs, okay? And I told even today program, the end, when you have some really difficult problem, some things to be done, when you don't have solutions, how to activate the Buddha's certain energy through the Bodhi tree. Okay, this you have to go through the YouTube. I won't explain. There's no time for that. When there are unsolvable problems, because people come to me with looking for miracles and all that, so I'm trying to give something. So this is actually Brahma Muhurta time. Brahma Muhurta means 3:22, 3:40, but at least until 4:30, this particular time period, you know, the Buddha's body was equated to the Bodhi tree. That's why Jetavanarama, the Bodhi. And also Buddha looked at it, he paid his tribute to the Bodhi tree. No being can, or no object can bear that tribute. But the Buddha's tribute was able to, you know, his worship was able to be experienced by the Bodhi tree. So thinking of this thing, if you just think it's a tree, it will be a tree. And thinking also the Buddha's qualities, how many births he perfected. And some of his deeds he did in one life. How it is for one year, the power is there as a protection. So how many of those lives, the ones he gave his children to perfect, to accomplish his mission, to serve the humanity, to serve living beings. So all this, if you reflect, those, though he's not alive physically, if you recall his purity, that power of his sacrifice and that purity, that it is still there. It's there if you recall it. And recalling like that in a Bodhi tree, if you can't get a Bodhi tree, I know one gentleman who was doing a retreat and he was worried about black magic and this done, that done. Okay. So many things. And he was like, he was only there for one day, but he didn't have money. He had cancer halfway and all these problems, not one. His father died with black magic done by something like that. I don't believe in this kind of black magic, but anyway, he says. But his mind looks so disturbed. So he stayed for the retreat. He got borrowed money and then he managed to, you know, the first day only he wanted to stay, but he stayed all days. The third day he told me all this. And then I told him, when you finish the retreat, you go to the Bodhi tree and you find this and do this. 3 days and at least many days, much as possible. But I found the fourth, fifth day, he looks like, he's like so bright, shining like a sun. You see, he has recalled the Jayasri Mahabodhi in Sri Lanka, the original Bodhi tree. And from here, where he was, he did the puja already. He said when he goes there, he will do the real one also. But it was having an effect. I also have an experience, there's no time to tell about this, and also other people, how with cancer and all other difficulties where there's no solutions and uncurable other complicated things. So this is one thing I tell, at least 3 days, you go there and place it. You have to recall the power of his, you know, the many lives he has done, how it is still active, it's live, it's working. And then place it to his, you could say, you must also recall that whatever hidden karma you have in previous life that is obstructing and giving pain to you, that he's the master to resolve the karma. So you place it to him, to clear your path that you can place. And think of his gold, his noble feet, the main two marks in his feet of the chakra, the disc, and the sankha, the conch shell in his below, the might he bought to be a blessing to the living beings for many lives. So you must recall this, okay? And then you place it and do it for 3 days. If it's not possible early morning, at least any other time. So, and also if you can do it continuously, if you get some benefit, do it continuously. And I'm sure you are then activating another force that will give, you know, clear your difficulty. So, just one part I will I thought atai hadris pavena kal naha ne ata marani hari kamanna nada malli doesn't matter. Okay, I read one part of Buddha thing. This is from the word of the Buddha. There are so many others. This is like a handy book taken from the original and put it into this one book. This made my teacher from a Hindu yogi to a follower of a Buddha in the intern camp many years ago. Views and discussions about the self. Now, if someone should say that feeling is his self, he should be answered thus. There are three kinds of feeling: pleasurable, painful, and indifferent feeling. Which of these three feelings do you consider as yourself? Because at the moment of experiencing one of these feelings, one does not experience the other two. These three kinds of feelings are impermanent, of dependent origin, are subject to decay and dissolution. Say any feeling, you are eating some food, it touches. When it touches only, that feeling is there. So with feeling only, we get the idea of me, I. We have like unconscious or anesthesia or general anesthesia. We will see where is me. Sometimes when you're seated, when your leg is numb, you can't feel or you don't see it from your eyes, you think, where's my leg? So with the feeling only, the idea of me, I arises. Okay. So these three kinds of feelings are impermanent, dependent origin, and subject to decay and dissolution, to fading away and extinction. Whoever in experiencing one of these feelings thinks that this is his self, must after the extinction of that feeling admit that his self has become dissolved. You must picture, if when that feeling goes away, if you think this feeling was me, then you must be dissolving. It can't be so. You cannot be something that changes and disappears. It should be something that does not change. Okay? Then his self must, after the extinction of that feeling, admit that his self has become dissolved. And thus he will consider his self already in this present life as impermanent, mixed up with pleasure and pain, subject to rising and passing away. If anyone should say that feeling is not his self and that his self is inaccessible to feeling, he should be asked thus, now where there is no feeling, is it then possible to say, this am I? Or another might say, feeling indeed is not myself, but it is also untrue that myself is inaccessible to feeling, for it is myself that feels, myself that has the faculty of feeling. Such a one should be answered thus, suppose that feeling should become altogether totally extinguished. Now if after the extinction of feeling, no feeling whatsoever exists there, is it then possible to say, this am I? This have to be pondered, okay? If you get these books, if you have to think, if you want to really get self-realized, these are the topics, and it will make you mentally free and awaken. So, anyone wants to ask one question? Yes? You have been listening and asked. Okay, this one here, yeah, Word of the Buddha by Jnanati Loka Matara. You have to rush quickly.
And second one is, you have mentioned about wisdom meditation.
Yeah. Yes. Now, what I just now read, if you learn to contemplate, then only your wisdom will be awakened. The special type of wisdom of analyzing, reflecting, contemplating, where the I, how does the I arise? then your special faculty will start to work. There are other things. Buddha is nothing but wisdom meditation. Buddha means wisdom. Pure wisdom. So this is what? Reading and contemplating. Not too much calmness. But the calmness also, that focus, all that focus power will also improve from this. Because this is the king of focus. King of meditation. Alright? So this is one. I am going to give you another very important takeaway regarding karma. Okay? Do we have 5 minutes? No. I think we are really short of time, right? Others will get locked inside here maybe until tomorrow. There's one short thing about karma, because I want to give you all something, you know. I started the ashram or the monastery October in Sri Lanka. No one will believe, as a wandering monk, you know, whether I will ever take up a monastery or do a monastery. So 4 years ago, you know, I told you some people see karma in India. I happen to have this many meetings. Who can see? When they see your body, they don't see your body. They see your karma. What type of karma you're going through now? What karma you did to experience this? And when it finishes? Like this, they have a vision of things. So anyway, I have these experiences. Like one guru, in 2019, he was telling something. I quickly wrote down in a small card, like a, you know, postcard. And then it was there in my bag. I put the date that I wrote, and then I wrote the points, what he said. And the last point he said, something was there. And then this monastery was open, and in the kuti or the room I was there, I had these books, and then I had this postcard. I looked at it. Suddenly I saw what I was going through that time he was told. Okay? Shall I show you all that? I was showing this for young people who disbelieve in karma and all that in Melbourne. And the ones who worried about cancer and all that. You know, that girl, when I told them about don't worry, you don't die like that. Then only they got some peace. Because these are not, I have no time to give you many things, but I don't think you should blindly study, but you should investigate everything and honestly search. So this was in 2019, October 10th, 30th in India. Okay, I've written the date, and then there's something written here. Now in last year only, I took up the ashram or the monastery and started working. This was 30th, 10th, 2019. 4 years from now, that from that time, it will be October. That's the time I was in the room, kuti, reading this. So this is actually, especially for young people, you know, I hope even for old people who have some skeptical, this karma, how the karma is working. Who will imagine that having an ashrama, me as a wandering monk? So anyway, I can't share more things. But I hope you all will study and practice something, and you will gain in this human birth. I hope it will not be wasted, and you will get to this peacefulness. Even you have to live, do the living part, but make sure you don't neglect this. You have all the potential, all of you, and I wish you all that you will achieve that. May the Devatas give all protection, and the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, all that blessings come to your life. ගණටි යෝධ බල ශක්තිය ලැබෙන්න ඕනේ මේ මහා සංඝරත්නය මේව රැකගෙන ඉන්න ඒ උත්තරම ආයත උත්තර ශක්තිය ලැබෙන්න ඕනේ ඒ වගේම ඒ හැමෝටම මේ කරගත්තු පුණ්‍ය ශක්තියින් දෙමව්පියන්ට ඥාතීන් ඉෂ්ඨකාමී දේවතාන් වහන්සේට අනුමෝදන් වෙන්න දායක දායකින් මේ වටේ හැමෝම මේකට අතහිත දීලා වටපිටාව ආරක්ෂාව දීගෙන ඉන්න හැමෝටම අනුමෝදන් වෙන්න සතරවරම් දෙවිවරුන්ට සක්‍ර දේවෙන්දට විශ්වකර්ම දිව්‍ය පුත්‍රයන් වහන්සේට මාතෘ දිව්‍ය රාජන් වහන්සේට සහම්පති බ්‍රහ්ම දිව්‍යරාජන් වහන්සේට ඉෂිවර මුනිවරු සිද්දල්ලට ඒ වගේම ගන්ධර්වරුන්ට බහිරවරුන්ට නාග නාගීන්ට 33 කෝටිය සම්මක් දෘෂ්ටික දේවතාන් වහන්සේට අනුමෝදන් වෙත්වා මේ බුද්ධ ශාසනය ආරක්ෂා කරන පෙරම් පුරණ නොපෙනෙන ලෝකේ පේන ලෝකේ වාසය කරන ඒ උතුම් දේව ලෝකේ බ්‍රහ්ම ලෝකේ ಗುಣ වඩන උත්තමයන් වහන්සේලා එකතු වෙලා මේ උතුම් බුදු සසුන ආයි ආරක්ෂා කරන ඉස්සරහට මේ සත්‍යයන්ට ප්‍රතිපත්ති සාධනේ ප්‍රතිවේද සාධනේ ආයි මතු කළ ගන්න වටපිටාව සකස් වෙත්වා. ඒ හින්දා මේ පිංගුතුන්ලට මේ ආපු ගමන ධෛර්ය ශක්තිය ලැබේවා. සංසාර පෙරපින් මත වේවා. සියලු දුක් කරදර දුර වේවා. කවදාකවත් දුකක් නැති ඒ උතුම් මඟ මතු කරගන්න සසර කරපු පුණ්‍ය බලය මත වෙන්න සම්බුදුන් වහන්සේගේ පාරමී බලයට නමස්කාරය වෙත්වා. බුදුන් බුද්ධ අධිෂ්ඨානයට නමස්කාරය වෙත්වා. ඒ වගේම සියලු යතිවරයන් වහන්සේට නමස්කාරය වෙත්වා. සෙන්කඩගල පුරවරේ පුරාණ දිව්‍ය ශ්‍රී විභූතිය ආයමේ මනුලව දළදා සමිදුගේ අනන්ත ගුණ බලය දස දිශාවට තුන් ලෝකෙටම සම්බුදුන් වහන්සේගේ බුද්ධ කරුණාවෙන් ඇතිකරුව අරමුණ ඉෂ්ට වෙන්න. ඒ මහා ශාසනේ ලෝක සත්‍යාවෙන්මින් පරියන්ත දේසි ශාසනේ පීඩපු අඩවිවලින් ඈතව තියෙන ඒ ඔබ වහන්සේගේ මහා ගුණ බලය පාරමී ශක්තිය මේ ලෝක සත්‍යාවෙන්මින් පීඩන්න. මහන්සේ උපාසක ශ්‍රීපාදයේ සී සංඛ්‍යත් චක්‍රයත් ඒකේ අනුභවය ලෝක සත්‍යයට රැකවරණයක් සිද්ධ වේවා. මේ කාලෙත් මේ බුදු ශාසනය ප්‍රතිපත්ති පූජාවෙන් ප්‍රතිපත්ති අවදි වෙලා සියලු දෙනාගේම සතර අපායට යන මාර්ගය වැළැක්වෙන්න ඒ අරමුණ ඉෂ්ට වේවා. මන්දි දාන මන්දි.